please the court. My name is Michael Peck, and together with my co-counsel, Simrajit Singh, I represent Mr. Walter Thornton under a 7-Eleven license through the Northwestern University School of Law. We ask this court to vacate both of Mr. Thornton's convictions for three reasons. First, the district court erroneously instructed the jury that mere attempted intimidation was an essential element for an attempted bank robbery charge under the first paragraph of Section 2113A. Next, the government failed to provide sufficient evidence that Thornton either used or carried or possessed a firearm at the Bank One. Finally, the district court erroneously admitted prior act evidence, which the government then impermissibly used as propensity evidence and also to fill evidentiary voids in both its attempted bank robbery and firearms charges. First, Your Honors, the district court erroneously instructed the jury that mere attempted intimidation, rather than the required actual intimidation, was an essential element for an attempted bank robbery charge under the first paragraph of Section 2113A. Your Honors, the government charged Mr. Thornton under a violent crime statute, which specifically states that any taking or attempted taking from a bank must be accompanied by force, by violence, or by intimidation. Yet all Thornton allegedly did in this case was to walk up to a Bank One in disguise, touch the front door, and then turn right back around. It is undisputed that Thornton never entered the Bank One or that any Bank One employee ever even saw him. Therefore, Thornton didn't even have the opportunity to show force, violence, or intimidation. Perhaps these facts would have fit more comfortably under the second paragraph of Section 2113A. However, that is not what the government charged. Rather, instead, to fill its evidentiary voids, and because of the lack of sufficient evidence, Your Honor, the government sought to change this court's pattern jury instructions by adding the words attempt to within the key element of by force and violence or by intimidation. The government did not, this error was not harmless because it effectively changed a key element of the statute, and therefore Thornton's attempted bank robbery conviction must be vacated. Moving on, Your Honors, the firearms charge also fails.
Could I back you up just a little bit?
Yes, Your Honor.
In terms of the actions at the door to the bank?
Yes, Your Honor.
Wasn't there a witness that came up and saw your client make some motion toward his jacket or something like that?
Yes, Your Honor. There was testimony from witness Contreras, who testified that he saw Thornton move his arm toward, I believe, his jacket, Your Honor.
And didn't Contreras testify about some fearfulness as a result of that?
Yes, Your Honor. He did testify to fearfulness. However,
how does that fit with your argument regarding intimidation?
It doesn't fit in two respects, Your Honor. First, by the time Thornton had interacted with Contreras, the government even argues that Thornton had actually retreated and abandoned any attempt at taking money from the bank. And the statute requires that the force and violence or intimidation must have been used to further the attempted taking. By that point, any attempt was fully abandoned. And also, Your Honor, that Contreras was intimidated is also questionable because Contreras actually initiated the contact. Contreras was the one to essentially verbally assault Mr. Thornton and ask him in a very profane manner what he was doing there.
Yeah, and therefore, then shortly after that he said, I didn't see nothing, right?
Yes, Your Honor. However,
as he drove off, afraid he might get shot.
Yes, Your Honor. However, again, at that point, any attempt at any alleged attempt to take from the bank was already abandoned. So Contreras' testimony cannot be used as evidence to fulfill the actual intimidation element of the crime, Your Honors. Your Honors, if I may move on to the firearms charge. The firearms charge also fails because the government did not prove that Thornton used or carried a gun at the Bank One, or that there was any specific nexus between a firearm seen at the shoe warehouse, which was blocks away at Thornton's place of employment, blocks away a week before and also after the incident at the Bank One, Your Honor. And, Your Honors, the most glaring deficiency for the firearms charge is that not even Thornton's alleged accomplice, Tremaine Moore, who was examined very heavily into specific details of the attempted bank robbery, Even Moore could not testify that he saw a gun, or that Thornton even ever discussed an intent or a purpose to use a gun seen at the shoe warehouse at the Bank One.
Well, Moore did testify he saw a gun about a week prior to the incident, didn't he?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. He did testify that he saw that gun. However, again, he did not testify that Thornton told him that he was going to use that gun or even that he saw that gun the day of the Bank One. Moreover, the government didn't even ask Moore that question. It left it solely to for the jury to infer, Your Honors. And therefore,
well, when you're planning a bank robbery and you show your cohort, who you hope to have as your getaway driver, that you've got a gun, that's a pretty strong message that you mean business, isn't it?
Well, Your Honor, that was a week before, and admittedly, yes, that is.
And when the day comes to do the robbery and Moore is asked to drive the getaway car, he knows that this fellow's got a gun, doesn't he?
Perhaps, Your Honor, but Moore, the day of the incident at the Bank One, Moore never saw the gun, Your Honor. All that Moore testified to was that he felt that the bag was medium heavy, and that's really it, Your Honor. Therefore, the only evidence that we really have is that Moore just saw the gun a week before. And because of that evidentiary gap, Your Honor, the government relied solely on inferences, which was bolstered by the improper prior act evidence that because Thornton had gone into a bank in Canada 13 years ago and waved a gun, he must have planned to have done so here as well. Your Honors, the government simply did not meet its burden of proof for the firearms charge, and therefore Thornton's firearms conviction must be vacated as well. Moving on to my last point, Your Honor, the district court erroneously admitted prior act evidence, specifically Thornton's 13-year-old Canadian bank robbery. Canadian bank robbery, Your Honor.
But before you move on to that, let me ask you whether this question is currently being, whether the question about the meaning of the attempt clause is being litigated elsewhere. I've seen the decisions of the Sixth Circuit in 2005 and the Fifth Circuit. Is this under advisement anyplace else? Do you know?
No, Your Honor. We just checked, and no, it is not under advisement anywhere else, Your Honor.
It looks like we've got a conflict among the circuits no matter what we do here.
It seems so, Your Honor, yes. Yes, Your Honor is correct. Now, Your Honor, getting back to the prior act evidence, Your Honor, the district court erroneously admitted prior act evidence of Thornton's prior Canadian bank robbery. And this error was harmful because the government specifically used it to encourage the jury to make the propensity inference that because Thornton had entered a bank with a BB gun while intoxicated 13 years ago, he must have planned to have brought a firearm to the bank.
Mr. Pike, this came out initially in the defendant's own testimony, didn't it, in direct examination?
The fact of the bank robbery came across during direct examination, but the specific details of the crime, which should not have been admitted, came out on cross, Your Honor.
And he gave some details, though, in his direct testimony, didn't he?
Yes, Your Honor, he did give some details.
So the cross-examination elaborated on the details that he had testified about.
Yes, Your Honor. However, he gave details only because the district court judge previously, in response to defendant's motion in limine, that the evidence would be admitted for intent, plan, identity, and improvement in method. And we argue in our briefs that while it may have been admitted for intent, it should not have been admitted for identity, plan, and improvement in method.
So Mr. Thornton was aware that this was coming before he took the stand?
Yes, Your Honor. He was aware that this was yes, that this was coming. And, Your Honor, because this testimony came out, and also because the government elicited specific details and went beyond any purposes that the district court even allowed the evidence in for, Your Honor, it encouraged the jury to draw the impermissible propensity inference.
Was this over the objection at the time of the defendant?
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honor, there was an objection in a motion in limine, Your Honor, and there was also before.
On cross, was there objection on cross?
Not on cross, Your Honor. However, the defendant did reassert the objection and claimed that it was a standing objection right before closing arguments, Your Honor. Your Honor, the government also impermissibly used that prior act evidence to fill its evidentiary voids. Your Honor, because the evidence also failed on the other 4B prong that we just mentioned, the district court abused its discretion and thus denied Thornton a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further questions. I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court. To require actual intimidation in an attempted bank robbery prosecution would be absolutely absurd. So says the 2nd, 4th, 6th, and 9th Circuit, and so should this circuit, and follow established case law on attempt. As was stated in Schramm, as is stated in most cases, all that an attempted crime requires is culpable intent and a substantial step. Mr. Thornton was charged with an attempted violent bank robbery because that's what he intended. He did not intend to enter a bank, I don't know, at night or without anybody noticing, walk over to a safe and slyly...
My understanding is he got to the door, touched the door, handled, is that what it was?
He did. He had, and this is all, of course, in the briefs, but he had spoke with Tremaine Moore.
Well, I know all
for weeks following.
I mean, that day,
right.
How far he got.
That day he got to the door, and this is in surveillance photos that was admitted at trial. His hand is on the door, and right at that time, he looks and sees Mr. Contreras pulling in. Mr. Contreras, seeing Mr. Thornton with a bandana over his face and what is clearly a huge stomach and costume, says, "What the blank are you doing?" To which then, in Mr. Contreras' testimony, the defendant reached across towards his bag or his jacket and muttered some expletives in return. And at that point, yes, I believe Mr. Contreras did testify that he was scared he was going to get shot, that he pulled out and said, I don't know nothing, and called 911 right after that. Mr. Thornton then, of course, runs to the car, joining Tremaine Moore, and the first words out of his mouth, they saw me, indicating that the exact reason that he left, took his hand off the door, was because someone did, in fact, interrupt him when he was about to go into the bank. As far as the evidence on the gun,
Let's not get to the gun yet. Still have the meaning of 2113A. It doesn't suffice just to claim that a particular reading is absurd or not. One has to found it in the text of the statute.
Absolutely.
I'm worried about the text of the statute. It says, whoever by force and violence or by intimidation takes or attempts to take something.
Right.
Now, a straightforward reading of that says there has to be actual force or intimidation, which may either succeed or fail. That is, takes, that's the success branch, and then attempts to take, that's the lack of success branch. So if you pull a gun and say to the teller, I'll kill you if you don't give me the proceed, you know, the drawer, the teller gives you the drawer, that's takes. If the teller doesn't give you the drawer, ducks and sounds the alarm, that's attempts to take.
Certainly, but Your Honor...
But I don't understand how one avoids the need to show actual force and violence or intimidation.
This statute, and you know, you look to the legislative history, you look to
Let's
the record,
talk
all that
about
aside,
the statute.
I understand, Judge, but you look to the statute and it says, whoever with force, violence, or intimidation attempts to take money by the bank. The reading that you're suggesting would require that a person actually go in with their Tech 9 or AK-47, point it, brandish it, whatever, to be guilty of an attempted bank robbery.
Well, would have to engage in force, violence, or intimidation.
Which certainly...
At least under this paragraph, then paragraph 2...
Says enter or attempt to enter a bank.
Talks about people who attempt to enter.
Now, Judge...
One might think that this is a natural prosecution under paragraph 2, but I gather that's been dismissed.
Under paragraph 2, Judge, which of course is not a predicate crime of violence and was not enacted to cover violent bank robberies...
I don't think one reads portions of the U.S. Code in order to help the prosecutor bootstrap the firearm...
No, but it does go to what type...
Them for what they are, and they have whatever consequence they have.
But it does go to what type of crime the defendant intended to commit. This defendant did not intend to commit a nonviolent bank robbery.
That's perfectly clear.
Furthermore,
I don't understand, however, how that helps us with the reading of this statute. Let me ask the question a different way. Is the argument you're making today about the meaning of 2113A consistent with this Court's holding 2 months ago in Salgado about the meaning of 2114A?
I don't know, Judge.
It looks to me like 2113A and 2114A have a very similar statute. Prosecutor made in Salgado an argument very similar in structure to the argument you're making now about another attempt prosecution, and this court rejected it. You're asking us to take what seems to me a very different interpretive stance about 2113 from the one we took about 2114 in Salgado.
Judge, I would not want to expound upon that because I don't know. But what I will tell you,
I appreciate that. The parties have not briefed the effect of Salgado, which came down after the parties' briefs. So perhaps the natural thing to do is for us to give you an opportunity, give the prosecutor and defense an opportunity to discuss Salgado in a supplemental filing within 10 days. That is, by a week from Friday.
That's fine, Judge, but I would like to address what is the difference between the second paragraph and the first in 2113A. The second paragraph reads, whoever attempts to enter or enters a bank with intent to commit a felony therein. That then, by its reading, would require that a defendant actually attempt to enter or enter a bank. That would require somebody to be in the door, up to the teller, for that statute to work. The cases in the Second, Fourth, Sixth, and Ninth Circuit all involve situations such as ours, where the defendant approaches the bank, but for one reason or another, does not make it inside.
Well, that's why I asked if he had his hand on the door. He did.
He had his hand on the door. That's as far as it went.
Well.
And then he walked away. Now, would we be here again having the same argument of attempting to enter? Well, he didn't actually enter. So, I mean, we'd be arguing that as well. This defendant was charged for the crime that he intended to commit, that he just happened to fail at. And if you'd like me to continue on this particular point, I will, but I want to make sure that I address the sufficiency of the gun argument as well. The defendant, as is clear from the record, had all of his paraphernalia to rob this bank in a blue duffel bag that was later found in the shoe warehouse. At the very bottom of that bag, of course, was the loaded Tech 9 that he had been – witnesses Contreras and Olga Salazar testified that she saw him taking off things in the car on the way back to the shoe warehouse, placing them within there, which was then shoved up in the ceiling. To address defendant's argument that, oh, perhaps this was in the shoe warehouse and he just happened to put it in that bag as well before police came, makes no sense because, as they rightly point out in their brief, there was another gun in the shoe warehouse. There was one under the cushion in the front seat of the reception area, which was, of course, not put in the duffel. So along with that, along with Tremaine Moore's testimony that they had been discussing this bank robbery right at the time Mr. Thornton obtained a gun and showed it to him, with Mr. Contreras' testimony, that alone was sufficient for any rational jury to have found the 924C. Then we do have Mr. Thornton's statements, which were elicited on direct examination. Facts about the bank robbery details were elicited on direct. Mr. Thornton knew this before he testified and chose to go into all of these details. And on cross-examination, Your Honor is right, we did explore more elaborate details, and that's when he said, you know, of course you can't go into a bank with your finger, you have to bring a gun. So that statement was used also as a supplement to the other evidence. As far as admitting the prior bank robbery, again, that was for impeachment. There was no objection to the impeachment. That was waived, and again, the court found that was sufficiently probative and not prejudicial against the defendant. Defendant's argument that the court admitted this evidence as improvement in method is just another way of saying plan. The district court judge on the record went into great detail about, you know, what this meant and what this was under 404B. And at the end of it, the jury instruction said this evidence is admissible for identity, intent, and plan, not improvement in method. And that's what it was admitted for, and I believe the defendant concedes that it was admitted for intent. So unless there are further questions, we'll rest on the briefs and the argument and ask the court to – well, we'll submit our supplementary briefs.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Judge.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Singh.
Your Honors, there are 2 points I'll address. First, relating to the government's mischaracterization of what 2113 actually entails, and then their use of the 404B evidence, especially as it relates to the 924 charge. Now, first, as Your Honor pointed out very succinctly, the attempt in the first paragraph of 2113 only modifies the taking. That is abundantly clear. But the argument that the government is now proffering is that rather than fulfilling the three essential elements of the first paragraph under 2113, they need only show the definition of attempt. That is the intent and substantial step to commit a crime. However, the three elements under 2113...
That's actually why I asked the question about Salgado, because that was the prosecutor's line of argument in Salgado, and it was rejected by this court.
I am familiar with Salgado, Your Honor, and in fact, we did consider filing a supplemental brief. However, Salgado did not actually address the issue of attempt, I believe, specifically. But the characterization of what is occurring in that case and what happened here as well is very similar. Even if we were to assume that the government's argument was correct and they only need to show intent and substantial step, they wholly failed to demonstrate any sort of intent to commit intimidation. They elicited the detailed testimony of the accomplice, the alleged accomplice of the defendant, and not even he was able to testify in the least as to what the plan inside the bank would entail, whether it would actually entail attempted intimidation or intimidation. So they essentially ruled out the
plan to enter the bank with attempted intimidation.
Well, plan to use any sort of intimidation and thus attempt intimidation in the process of carrying out.
I plan to enter the bank and then engage in unsuccessful intimidation. I suppose Hollywood could make a movie out of bank robbers who did that kind of thing, but a real bank robber probably wouldn't have that plan.
Your Honor, here, I mean, curiously, there was no even plan. There was no testimony even regarding a plan of using actual intimidation. And that is exactly what is missing. The intent and substantial step, just the mere definition of attempt, cannot usurp the three essential elements of the first paragraph under 2113, and that is to take or attempt to take by intimidation out of a federally insured bank. Moreover, the government is relying on four circuits' decisions that address this issue. But the decisions are wholly lacking in one crucial way, and that they are not a statutory analysis in the very least. And in fact, these four circuits, all but one, did not even acknowledge the existence of the second paragraph. The second paragraph was instituted just for this sort of a crime, where there was no actual force, violence, intimidation. The Attorney General recognized that they could not prosecute such crimes and asked Congress to supplement that statute to add something, where if someone did not actually exercise force, violence, intimidation, they could be prosecuted. The only circuit to do a statutory analysis was the Fifth Circuit.
What about Mr. Contreras? Does that play any part in this?
Your Honor, Mr. Contreras, again, was not a bank employee, and as my co-counsel pointed out, the intimidation or perceived intimidation which may have occurred happened after the crime had already been abandoned. And the abandonment issue there is very relevant because
close was he with his hand on the door when Mr. Contreras asked him what he was doing?
He had already walked away from the door and was, in fact, walking down the sidewalk towards his vehicle. He had initially spotted Mr. Contreras, and Mr. Contreras had pulled into the parking lot. He then turned around, walked away, and then there was an engagement several feet from the entrance. And again, I must point out that the actual force, violence, or intimidation supplements and modifies the taking or attempt to take. There was no attempt to take or taking at the time of the interaction with Mr. Contreras. But, Your Honors, I do want to address very quickly the 404B argument here because it is essentially the glue that held the entire government's case together. It filled evidentiary voids, and it demonstrated the defendant's propensity to commit such a crime. Now, even if we do concede that this evidence was probative of intent, the evidence was admitted for the purposes of plan, identity, and improvement in method. An improvement in method, a purpose, is not even recognized by this court. Now, this court has held that for plan and identity, there must be substantial and striking similarities between the crimes. And the government went into great detail and elicited quite a bit of detail, and in fact dwelt on this detail during summation, pointed out all of this detail that it was only able to elicit under those purposes. Had it just been for intent, none of those details would have been come out. It merely would have been that he had prepared and he intended to rob a bank 13 years previous. Now, this was clearly harmful because, as I've stated, this filled the evidentiary voids. Without those information, without the government being able to state, just like in Canada, right, or you can't go in there with your finger, or I needed to, speaking in the defendant's voice, I needed to step up the skies because clearly the last one didn't go so well for me, in summation, arguing relevantly to his previous crime in order to create inferences within the jury about this defendant's propensity to commit just such a crime. Your Honors, I see my time is up. For the reasons that we have just stated and for the reasons included in our brief, we ask that you vacate the two convictions for Mr. Thornton. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Singh. We also thank Mr. Peck and the Bloom Legal Aid Clinic for its willingness to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've all been to the court as well as to your client. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.